Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about anarchists in our streets. We're talking about the uprising of Marxist socialists and their agenda to destroy the warp and the woof, the very fabric of the United States of America. And the major thing that's in focus now that's causing this to be so timely for the socialist Marxist agenda of Black Lives Matter and Antifa is to destroy the potentiality of the re-election of President Donald J. Trump, November the 3rd. And just before the break, and I'll read a couple of points here, and then we'll take our caller. This article says, exploiting the blacks to promote Marxism, the Marxist revolution, is an old tactic. The late Larry Gothall, a former FBI informant in the Weather Underground, understood from personal experience just how white communists exploit blacks and other minority groups. He said the Weather Underground terrorists, Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn, regarded Barack Obama, whose political career they sponsored, as a tool, a puppet, to use against white America. Obama's legacy at home will certainly include more racial division. Goes on to talk about Black Lives Matter, launched in 2013, and set up a hashtag Black Lives Matter as they were handling, working through the George Zimmerman when he was acquitted. They were up in an uproar because of that. The three people, ladies and gentlemen, the three women that started Black Lives Matter. One of them is a lesbian. All three of them are socialist Marxists with an agenda of overthrowing the norm, which I call the Bill of Rights and our Constitution in the United States of America. They go on to say that these three women work for front groups as the Freedom Road Socialist Organization, known as FRSO, one of the four largest radical left organizations in the country. The others are the Communist Party USA, the CPUSA, Democratic Socialists of America, DSA, and the Committee of Correspondents for Democracy and Socialism, the CCDA. And it goes on to talk about their links with all of these socialist, Marxist, communist organizations. Ladies and gentlemen, if Black Lives Matter were really serious about that, they would do something about and stop, bring to a screeching halt the black lives that are being taken every day in Chicago, Baltimore, and other places like New York and major cities across America. That's not their concern. You ought to be concerned about, worried about, and interested in why it is simply a sporadic thing when someone like George Floyd, when he dies at the hands of a police officer, all of a sudden, as we're hearing today, where we want to shut down law enforcement, defund law enforcement, shut down police departments across America. Can you imagine 1 week, ladies and gentlemen, without law enforcement in America? We would be an absolute jungle if that ever takes place. We need to pray and ask God to intervene that that will not happen. Ladies and gentlemen, believe we have a caller on the line. Go with the question or comment, please.
Yes. Good morning, Pastor. Yeah, the George Floyd events of the last 2 weeks underscore very powerfully what is really behind these people. You see all the various groups, some you've mentioned this morning, Antifa, Black Lives Matter, there's many, many other groups. They really have very dark, evil souls, and their overlords are slowly beginning to emerge from the shadows as to who's behind it. You talked about George Soros, but there are others. In fact, there are whole nations that are behind this thing. Our
yes.
country is at war, period. You can make that statement. It is at war. A true, true statement. A noted rabbi said back in 2000 in a book, America's Real War, I think it was Rabbi Lapine, and even Richard Nixon back in 1980 or 81 in his book, The Real War, began to see what was happening. This is not new. It's just now coming to the point where a very significant event is about to take place. So what I'm going to say is going to be caveated by this. I actually am hesitant to speak against what's taking place because my personal and deepest held feeling is that Jesus is coming back very soon. And from
Amen.
My perspective, that's a really wonderful thing. I do want to be raptured out. I want to leave this world because I've got relatives and other folks in the next world to see, and I want to have a long conversation with my Lord. So all this stuff is precursive to that event happening. So in, say, well, here are ways we need to push back against it, I sometimes feel like, well, why but do so? But the truth is this. We're called to continue living our lives as if, well, it's still in the future. That is the second coming of Jesus, and to preach the imminence of his return. Jesus, John the Baptist, preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and we need to be preaching that. But that said, I'm going to go back to my rather interesting background and pull out a couple things that will underscore everything that you have said. And I want to make clear in everything I say henceforth, I'm absolutely saying amen, praise the Lord, to everything you've spoken to so far today and what you said in the past. You are speaking the absolute truth, absolutely accurate, what you are saying based on my own rather interesting experience in the military and some other things. Now, that said, if we are, in fact, at the precipice of what I believe is called, in my parlance, the great event, the great rapture of the church, the beginning of the end was actually starting back in the 19th century. And I say that because that's when the Second Great Awakening happened. And what happened then was the high church that denied that Revelation lay in the future was kind of pushed aside in favor of the low church, the evangelical church, those people who believed in a very close and personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And that was a unique branding of America. We became an evangelical nation, and we sent people all over the face of the earth. But the biggest thing was the rebirth, the reawakening of dispensational theology in the middle of the 19th century, which is what we're dealing with today. It's what you...
That's right.
And it's really the only accurate message for the days at hand. At the same time, in the 19th century, Satan was very active, putting his chess pieces in place for what was going to happen in May of 1948 with the rebirth of Israel, incidentally, the year that I happen to have been born. Now, that said, we have the battle between good and evil taking place in the 19th century with Satan trying to preempt what was happening. Well, all that God intended has come to pass, and now as we stand at the precipice of what I call the event, the great event, all those things that the Bible said what happened are happening. We see the great falling away of the church. That
yes, right.
That high church has kind of returned. That false theology of, well, the all the events of Revelation are behind us, and we don't even need to pay attention to Revelation. It's just a book of simple moral teachings, and that couldn't be more hellishly wrong than anything. But we are now beginning to see the end time events, and here's what I want to say based on my background. Since 1981, I have been personally tracking all these events, these different organizations that you have talked about or their previous manifestations, Students for Democratic Society, for instance, in the 60s in this country, as one example. I've been tracking and watching what they're doing. I've been watching the unfolding of events leading to this great event. And in my last 5-6 years in the military, I spent some time with two foreign embassies, and also spent the last 4.5 at Andrews Air Force Base in Washington serving the people who make all the decisions for America in the executive branch of government and the congressional branch of government. And I served at in a window, let's just, without going into specific detail, I served at a window where I watched the dissolution of the Soviet Empire. There were two agencies in the 80s that stood in the way of the global hegemony that Satan wants to set up. Two agencies. The very first, oddly enough, was the USSR, the great communist empire that existed that when I was in Strategic Air Command, we, you know, were positioned to respond to a nuclear strike against those folks. They were the evil empire that Reagan talked about. But they also were impediment to the real power behind the power that we see emerging today, and they had to be disassembled. They had to go away before they could attack the great colossus, which is America. And so I watched the dissolution of the Soviet Empire from that window I talked about in 1989 and 90 at Andrews Air Force Base. I literally saw the power behind the power, the chess pieces being moved so that the Soviet Union would be pushed out of the way. Now, once the Soviet Union was pushed out of the way, the assault began full force on America by the evil forces that had been behind the scenes for a long time. It is Satan himself. 1 John 5:19 says, "We are of God, but the whole world lies under the sway of the evil one." We never really understood that, and the high church, which gave lip service to Satan and knew that we were in a good versus evil battle, never really understood how it was taking place on the personal level or the personages that were actually behind it, actually existent in this world doing things. The George Soros of the previous generations, like Adam Schiff's grandfather, Joseph Schiff, who was the George Soros of before. America had to be taken out of the way and is now in the year 2020 with the final assault has begun. This is demonic. There is no other explanation whatsoever for what you saw in the COVID virus, but there is particularly, absolutely no justification for a global revolution, because a man who had a criminal background and was obviously a pathetic individual from a culture that Candace Owens herself says is fractured and fettered, has put out the sophistry that this was a great man. He died under horrible circumstances. But that death showed us the evil on both sides of the fence, the white side and the black side. But evil is evil. And those people who do not belong to Christ, those who are not sealed and delivered, those who will go out of here when the event takes place, are now responding. They're being galvanized to a level of activity by whom? The Dark Lord himself, Satan and his operatives. People don't like to hear that. They don't believe it. The high church background, the intellectuals say, well, this is another crazy raving evangelical. Well, that's fine. The truth is truth, and you're preaching that. You're preaching that. The truth is truth, and people need to understand that everything that they see on television is utter sophistry. It is being manipulated by the media that I saw and served up close and personal at the end of my Air Force career. I saw the twisted nature of the media. And so I can say today, and this is the last thing I'm going to say, Dr. Gina Youngblood is 100% correct in what he is saying. Pay attention. The little church that he preaches from on Old St. Augustine Road is an ark of safety for people that really haven't come yet to the full conclusion of what we're dealing with. You need to listen to this man. Come to his church, and he hasn't asked me to say this. I'm saying this voluntarily and freely with a background that is pretty good. We are in a time of greatest danger to this nation that's ever existed. We may not even exist many more months if things continue, and particularly, as Doc said at the beginning of the show, if Donald Trump is not reelected, or if something happens to Donald Trump between now and then, and there are many enemies out to take him out, then it's over. It is absolutely, categorically, undeniably over for America, and what the citizens of this country will endure under the anarchy that will evolve is beyond consideration. Right. We need now to understand that if we don't look up for our redemption draweth nigh, if we don't absolutely repent openly and intensely for the sins that have brought this nonsense upon us, then, folks, you might as well turn off your radio, get in your chair, and put your thumb in your mouth and suck on it, because it's over. It's over. It's over. And yes. A man who probably, if he were alive today, we wouldn't necessarily agree with all of his theology, John Huss, was right. The truth is the truth. And right. So, I hope they'll hear yours. Thank you for letting me rant for a while, but you're right.
Thank you so much for those insightful, inspiring, encouraging words. Ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly correct where we are. That summarizes where we are. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and wickedness and evil in high places. And it's talking about that demonic influence. These folks with Antifa and Black Lives Matter are simply the tool that Satan is using to tear down and destroy. In fact, I'm fascinated by one article, and I'll touch on it, and then we'll take our next caller. An African immigrant blast lib protesters, saying Black Lives Matter is simply a joke. As protests and riots continue to sweep through the country, the Black Lives Matter movement appears to be at the forefront of most of the social upheaval that we see taking place. While the majority of the conservatives have been standing on the principle that all lives matter and are equally valued in God's sight, Black Lives Matter movement is spurring division, and based on skin color. At least one black immigrant is refusing to buy into the divisive rhetoric. Black Lives Matter is a joke. You're the racist, he said. An American citizen who immigrated from Africa told Black Lives Matter protesters Sunday near her home in Washington. Black Lives Matter demonstrators gathered in response to the death of George Floyd, a black man who died on May 25th while in Minneapolis police custody. This writer, this person says, called out the hypocrisy of Black Lives Matter for refusing to acknowledge the exponential amounts of black-on-black crime, particularly in Chicago and other liberal-led cities. Quote, when black people kill black people, they don't come out and do this sort of stuff, she said. The only time they do this is when a white person does it to them. 94% of black homicide victims in 1976 through 2005 were killed by other African Americans, according to the National Review report. Over the Memorial Day weekend in Chicago, 84 people were wounded by guns and violence, and 24 of them died, according to the Chicago Times. This person writing this attempted to point out the facts, but met with willful ignorance and combativeness. Go to Chicago. They don't have schools, and they die every day. They don't matter to you, this person speaking about Black Lives Matter, because you can't get attention from that, according to this particular person writing this article. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a pretty good little insight from a person that comes out of a background of socialism and a dominating dictatorship style of government and sees what's happening in America and makes that statement. It is very, very clear. In fact, Tucker Carlson said, is America being torn apart? By a total, complete, provable lie. And that's because they continue to say that more black people are being killed at the hands of police officers than white, and that is simply not true. I've read the statistics, time won't allow us to go into them, but that is simply not true. It is a lie that's being spawned on television by the socialist, Marxist, leftist media, and by the Black Lives Matter movement and Antifa. I believe I have a caller on the line. Go with your question or comment, please. Hello.
It does appear that there's that link between the radical Muslim community and the Black Lives Matter community. Wow, I don't even like using that term because now we've got these groups like Antifa that they're just absolutely terrorist organizations. Yes. Nonetheless, they do seem to have a common goal, and it's a Fabian socialist goal. It's a Marxist goal. It's a Cloward and Piven goal. Look those terms up, folks. It's amazing. When you look at the Cloward-Piven strategy, it's overwhelm the system, crush the system, destroy the system in order to rebuild the system. Now, I don't know about you, but crushing the system, destroying the system, disbanding police departments, none of this makes any sense. I mean, that would make – Minneapolis is a very interesting place, by the way, because we had like 60,000 folks from the area around Mogadishu, Somalia, pour in as immigrants, and tons of them settled there in the Minneapolis area. That's why you have Ilhan Omar that was elected from that district to be the representative. That town's run by Democrats, the police chief's Democrat, the mayor's right down the list, and somehow or another, in the midst of all this chaos, the death of this man, George Floyd, is somehow or another Donald Trump's fault, I believe, in many of their eyes. They're talking about police reform, at the same time talk about disbanding law enforcement. I mean, the communities that need assistance most will be most harmed. These poor communities, there's always the left always cries out that they are there for the poor, for the what they call the disadvantaged. However, if they do the craziness, well, they're already doing it. If they fulfill their last desire along this path, these communities most disadvantaged will be absolutely ripped to pieces, and that they build all of this on the lie. I mean, you just articulated a lot of these points, but I was just reading a series of documents from what they call the Muslim ARC Toolkit. And that's in harmony with Black Lives Matter. And they have a series of different things, but they start out with talking about how important Black Lives Matter is. And they quote, they cite some names to give credence to give support to their allegation. They talk about Trayvon Martin. Folks, if you watched the trial for Trayvon Martin, you will have discovered that Trayvon Martin made it all the way back to his daddy's girlfriend's backyard. And then he made a U-turn and said he was going to go after that crazy you-know-what cracker and whoop him. You know, that's the kind of communication he's having with the girl on the phone. And he went several houses back away from where he had already found safety, and he attacked George Zimmerman. Now, George Zimmerman had problems in his life, and he was not a police officer. However, witnesses said that Trayvon Martin was on top of George Zimmerman, pounding his head onto the concrete and striking him repeatedly. That's when Trayvon Martin was shot fatally. That was an assault on George Zimmerman. Again, George Zimmerman wasn't all together there. I mean, there are problems there. But he was assaulted by Trayvon Martin. Trayvon Martin lost his life because he made a stupid move. Darren Wilson was attacked. The police officer was attacked by Michael Brown. Now, when you attack a police officer, guess what? You're laying hands on an officer that is armed. That means you just became armed. The conflict was an armed conflict. There was a gun in the middle of the conflict. He fled and then came back to attack Darren Wilson again. Michael Brown was tagged as a gentle giant. He was tagged as he'd never do this. But guess what? It turns out all the forensic evidence points to the fact that he attacked Darren Wilson not once but at least twice, and then he was fatally shot. Now, these are supposedly unarmed victims, and somehow or another they're drawing the connection, even with Trayvon Martin, back to law enforcement. The numbers don't bear out the lie that they're trying to perpetrate. The reality is, for every 10,000 arrests for violent crimes, 3 black folks or brown folks are killed by law enforcement. For every 10,000 arrests for violent crimes, 4 white folks are killed. So literally, if we stop looking at a straight racial analysis or ethnic analysis, a color analysis, and start looking at how the violent arrest play into this. I've learned something very interesting. If you're not doing something wrong, most of the time they don't show up. Most of the time they're not interested. And then if we start looking at fatherless homes, we start to get a clear picture of why we are where we are. I mean, the fact that we kicked God out of the culture and we rewarded fatherless homes. I mean, the welfare state literally began by saying, hey, we'll give you money if there's no daddy at home. Think of how twisted that is and how it has ripped apart the black family in America. Before they started all the mass welfare programs, most black families were intact families. Mom and dad were at home for the kids. That's not the case anymore. And that's spreading. It's not. I'm not pointing just at the black community, but throughout our communities, it is spreading, and it has a devastating consequence.
Yes, Greg. Let me interject a thought for clarification and for understanding and edification of our listeners, and then we'll take another caller. But one of the things that we need to understand that our listeners need to recognize, this goes back to the weather underground with Ayers and Dorn. And their movement back in the 70s, 60s and 70s, and they had a mantra. They had a 6-point goal, and that same goal has been adopted by Antifa and Black Lives Matter. Number 1, destroy capitalism. Number 2, the weapon of choice, systematic racism and police racism. Number 3, identify the victim class. 4, organize the victim class. 5, engage in international solidarity with the global movement. Number 6, attack and dethrone God. Now, if that doesn't summarize, ladies and gentlemen, what we're faced with Antifa and Black Lives Matter, nothing does. Greg, hang in there for a moment. Let's take another caller.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, this is Brother Davis. How are you today?
Wonderful, Brother Davis. Thank you for calling.
Yes, sir. I have many things I can say right now, but just for the sake of time, I'm just going to try to cut it down as short as I can. But first thing I want to say, I'm not happy by the things that I see that are going on in our society today. Because what I'm getting from this is that weak-minded, uninformed people are making uninformed decisions.
Yes.
That has really touched off a lot of other violence in other areas of our society. And weak-minded people are being led about by these wolves in sheep's clothing.
That's
right. They are putting out there that they are out there to help them. But Dr. Youngblood, I mean, if they can just get the information that's needed to help them to make the right decisions, I'm sure that they wouldn't be going in the ways that they are going right now. What I can really gather from this this thing that's really touched off about Mr. Floyd and the officer, what I get from that is that on that particular day, two bad decisions were made. Number one, now, I'm sure that officer didn't wake up out of his bed that morning and said, I'm going to kill George Floyd today. Now, Mr. Floyd, evidently, from the information that was out there, he supposedly passed off some fake money or wrote a bad check or something. I heard two or three versions or whatever. But something brought the officers out there to confront him on that day. That was a bad decision. If he did those things, if it proves out that that's what happened, to cause the officers to come out there and check him out, that was bad decision number one. Second bad decision, Dr. Youngblood, is when the young man kneeled down upon his neck caused him to lose his life. Okay,
that's right.
That was a bad decision also. But now, as a result of those two bad decisions are being made everywhere. And now everybody is caught up into this thing. And they are being led astray by people who are playing the race card and causing us to play each other against one another. And I don't think this is something good. So as a Christian black man, I just want to say, we as Christian people shouldn't get caught up in society playing the race card. Because we're supposed to have the love of God in our hearts, and we're supposed to treat everybody equally.
That's right.
And that's what I want to say. I'm just going to stop it right there. But like I said, I just thank God for you taking my call.
Amen. Thank you so much for that. Greg, we've got about 30 seconds to go. Wrap us up on this broadcast.
I think the things that really bring about cures, and obviously kicking God out of the culture, has resulted in horrific consequences and breaking up the nuclear family. So I pray for restoration of the family, and I pray that God will be restored to the culture so that we could see true redemption.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 120 21 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.